England.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we go any further into our meeting, we'd like to have a moment of silence for the 17 victims of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas school shooting, and also for Margaret Bailey. Our district lost one of its own on March 1st. She was a 15-year employee, a member of our food service. So if we could have a moment of silence for them. Thank you. Mrs. Hagenbusch, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mr. Inks?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Okay. At this time, we'd like to start with a safety update of the state of our buildings and what our district is doing. So, Mr. Addis?
I'll turn that light down a little bit.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We will eventually get to the really good stuff, which is all of these kids that are sitting here. But we've had a couple of things, obviously, nationally that have happened recently, and we just wanted to address while we had some people here some things that we've been doing as a district and things that we're considering. Ultimately, I'm going to ask the building principals to talk about some of the action steps that they've taken at their buildings as well. So when something like Parkland happens, obviously it impacts all of us. And as educators, we increase the work ethic, we increase the awareness, and we attach ourselves to safety professionals. And so we've been doing that, not only our own checks and our own balances with what's happening in our own buildings, but also national experts. So last week I was privileged to meet with Summit County Incident Commander Doug Smith. So when something happens in Summit County, Doug is the person that is called and assumes command of these situations. So I've talked with many of you, whether it's via phone or via email, about safety devices and plans and protocol, and I'll talk about that. But I want to talk a little bit about some things that he mentioned to me that really comes back to the schools as well and our connection with our families. He has his master's degree and he specializes in the active shooter, so he has studied this for a career. What he told me was the first one in our nation's history was 1764, which was a surprise to me. But really, the alarming thing here is the increase in this in the last 25 years. And there are some things that have circulated in his life and in his studies. Again, a local expert, asked some things that he discusses when he talks to people. He would tell us the same things tonight. I shared with him. I'm going to present some of this information. Nationally, whether or not it's statewide or in Summit County, but he talks about the lack of funding for long-term psychiatric care facilities, the lack of funding for additional mental care facilities. And right now, he's talking about some things that are happening in the mid-70s. The onset of medications designed to treat depression, which were mid-80s, and then certainly by no means did he frown upon the use of video games or connect it, but what he talked to us about was the Grand Theft Auto. The first version occurred in 1991. So he started talking about things like sensory perception and these things that kids are doing without really feeling anything. So. He let us know that some of these things personally that he had discovered in his studies so that we could bring it back to our districts and continue our work with our kids, really in some of the important areas that I will talk about. We've had a good year with our kids and developed a couple of things. But here are some things that we have tried to become sure of over the last couple of weeks. What we currently have in place, making sure that it is secure and foundationally strong. Number one is the health and wellness of our students. I will tell all of you, because of funding district and statewide, the suggested number of Counselors or school psychs to students in a district is one to every 250. We're above that in Norton, and most school districts are. I would imagine that will change. There will be, you know, the Parkland, it has an opportunity to change some things. So with what we have done a really good job, and I'll talk about a couple of programs. But the idea of having some financial freedom to include health and wellness components to each of our school buildings, that has to be a priority for us. Through our school counseling program, through our school psychologists, through other organizations that come in and help us, the pastoral care. We've done some work with Greenleaf, who did a presentation on suicides for our community. So we've looked at secure entries. Spent a little bit of time with those. Really a big thing is that our doors are locked and shut. I've been in classrooms for 26 years, and primarily maybe you as a student are used to the doors being open and people coming and going as they please. We're entering a world where instruction is occurring behind a shut door and a locked door. It's just the safest place. Our principals have worked really hard with things like visitor badges, and you know, Doug also shared something that I believe in too, and that is lockdowns work. Behind a locked door, when it's shut, out of sight, is something that works. So some additional security measures are currently being considered and evaluated. Maybe some people in this room have sent some information to me on door jams. And so I met with him to talk about which of those make sense to him and which one of those works. So we're in that process now. Mr. Santelli visited a school building in Canton that had an identification swipe, and I think this is something that's going to catch a little bit of fire. You swipe your driver's license and it prints out your actual picture, and if there's anything on that individual's record that should be alarming to a school system, they are denied access to the building. So that's something, when he mentioned that to me, that caught my attention, and I believe the board also. So looking at that. And then the practice of actual drills. He talked to us about this at length, and we meet our state requirements. All of our principals do a number of things with their drills, but in terms of an evacuation drill, or in terms of actually, and we certainly wouldn't do this at the lower levels, but maybe at the middle and high school levels, the suggestion that a gun is fired in the building, obviously with a blank, so that people could hear it and understand it. I've been in that situation before as a person, and it is a harrowing experience when you hear that. So the goal with practice, according to the experts, is that your kids fully understand it, the shock is avoided, and they're able to do what they need to do to be safe. All right? So I appreciate any of you that have reached out to me. Some of you have called, some of you have sent an email. I want you to know right now our focus is our buildings as they exist and the things that we are doing on a daily basis. And right now I'm going to have some of the principals, all of the principals, talk about any additional steps that their building has taken to secure. So, Mr. Morris, can you start us off with primary?
Just a couple things. One thing in particular, we're looking to roll out a secure vestibule at the entrance of the building, which will be a summer project. So if you have the second set of doors so that when you come in, there'll be a window there that you can then buzz into the office before you get into the second set. Other things, all outside doors throughout the course of the day are locked. Teachers can swipe in. They have their badge so they can gain access. Let's see. Like Mr. Addis had said, classrooms are locked throughout the day. Staff are present during arrival and departure. We really tried to make a conscious effort to allow one visitor in at a time, so that one's not propping the door and then three or four parents are coming in behind. So we're stopping everybody as they come through the doors. But you know, we're honestly doing a great effort to keep them safe throughout the course of the day. We changed preschool drop-off and arrival, so that was a little different. So that's more secure because those are our littlest students coming in, starting at 3 years of age, so that looks completely different. Big shout out to the Norton Police Department because they've been in and out during arrival, during the day, during dismissal. Just their presence was really appreciated, so thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sackett, Mrs. Monet.
And yes, we also have Latchkey, which is housed in our building. So that opens up the building by 6:30 in the morning and a lot of parents coming in and dropping off. So with all of our doors being locked, we do have Latchkey manning that door and they only allow parents of those students. Any parent that is not part of Latchkey, at 7:15 we have Brainiacs in our building. We have a Brainiacs teacher there. So there are two adults at the door only allowing kids in and parents that are with Latchkey. Starting at 8 o'clock, all adults are sent into the office. Our office is open at 8 o'clock. And then at 8:30, we have a teacher at the two side doors. Any students coming in, the only students are allowed to enter those doors. Any adults have to go into the office. So we've kept that on lockdown. And then again, Latchkey starts again in the afternoon at 2:20. Latchkey mans the door starting at 3:30 once our office is finishing up. They have to man their door to let those people in, and that is manned until they're done at 6:30, so all doors are locked. Students only come in the front doors off of buses, and we have adults escorting them in. From the minute they get off the bus, we have teachers escorting and aides all the way around the buses in through the front doors.
Mm-hmm. Inside the building, all teachers wear security badges like Ms. Monet has. Volunteers get stickers. We're really trying to beef that part up as we go. Also, all teachers have doors locked while they're during instructional time. And then really, we're constantly evaluating the process of our larger events that happen throughout the day, trying to keep that control. But hearing of other, I started an event tonight at the middle school, how they're approaching it. So working with other administrators to kind of get their ideas and getting us thinking about all aspects of security, whether it's getting in or once parents are already in. We also do our mandatory 3 lockdowns a year. Also have a tabletop discussion with teachers and again encourage them to have conversations with students to avoid the shock of an event so that they're familiar with terminology. And again, getting that message out of see something, say something, something that they can carry out to the public as well.
Thank you. Mrs. Gerber, middle school.
Some of the things that we're doing at the middle school are similar to what you've heard. We have morning activities. So jazz band's one of our activities we have in the morning. Kids were coming in the building as early as 6:15. We've changed that to have an adult at the door and they all come in together at 6:30. Study table, which we offer in the morning. Also, we have an adult manning that door so that the kids can come in together. And it's not a free open door. We were a little lax with wearing our badges. We've stepped that up with staff. In addition, we have the custodian who used to unlock the doors for the teachers. Now we tell them they can't unlock the doors and teachers have to be responsible for having their keys and having their badges. Another thing that we really struggled with was what do you do with subs? When subs come into your building, they have to be prepared to lock the doors in an emergency situation. What we are now doing is we take the sub's car keys and we give the sub a master key to the building with an ID. We did that because they're not going to leave with our master key at the end of the day. We have a lot of master keys that used to float around before we've changed all the locks in the building. And we wanted to make sure that we wanted that sub to be able to lock the door, but we wanted that master key back at the end of the day. So we take their keys when they check in the morning so that we have those and we can get our master keys back. After the Parkland tragedy, we did have kids coming to school that were very anxious. And it was a real struggle for parents because parents would say to us on the phone, we know we can't come get them. But they heard their voice, the child's voice. So we worked with some of our students and we took them around the building and we showed them that we do have secure doors. The doors are locked. And one of the conversations we had with them, we told them about the Navigate app that we use. And on that Navigate app, there's different scenarios. So we said to the kids, would you be interested in listening to the scenarios and how the teachers think through a drill? And they said yes. So we picked a couple of the drills, we played them on the PA system, we let the teachers and the kids problem solve together. One was a fire in the cafeteria, in the kitchen when you were having lunch at the cafeteria. What are you gonna do? Where are you gonna go? There was a stranger outside the building. What are you gonna do? So the kids that we met with that were so anxious, they said that sounds like a good idea. If there's five kids that are anxious in a middle school, there's 25 or 35. So we went on the kids' recommendation of let's listen to those scenarios and let's problem solve some of those solutions together. So we did that also. We are looking at a new buzzer for our front door to fix some of the problems we've been having with that buzzer. And I think that we do our drills as everybody else does. We make sure all of our doors are locked by 7:30 in the morning. And I will share one other thing. The teachers, that your staff is different than they used to be. I shared with Mr. Shaner, we had the high school wrestlers leaving for a tournament. Well, one of the high school wrestlers didn't want to take his book bag. So in his mind, he was just going to leave it outside the door for his mom to drive by and pick it up. Well, I had teachers that were out having lunch, came back, and they see an unmanned book bag at the door that wasn't there 5 minutes ago. And they panicked, and they went for help, and we investigated what was going on. So the whole, as we look at everything, a simple kid's book bag isn't just a book bag anymore. We look at it and we think, is there a safer way to do this? And then I called the parent, and we talked with the parent to make them understand. They can't just leave a book bag outside by a door. That sends a different message in this day and age. So we're working to educate everybody to do things a little bit differently so that everybody remains safe at our schools. Thank you.
Mr. Shaner?
That was all just part of the high school's plan to harass the middle school as much as possible. So it's working. So I'm a little different than all the other schools. And the reason for that is I've been the principal now at the high school for 7 years. And we passed a bond issue 4 years ago in which to build a new high school. So I have been able to see our building from the design phase all the way through. And it's really neat because when we talk about this, anytime you build a new building, obviously safety is at the forefront of everything that we designed, everything that we talked about. I remember going round and round with MKC, if you've ever been to the high school during the day, and you can kind of walk into the main atrium there, and there's a attendance window, and then there's different doors we can buzz and everything else. It might seem a little convoluted or confusing to some folks, but that was something that I went around round and round with MKC about, because I'm like, no, this isn't right. No, we got to change this. No, I'm thinking of this or whatever. We have career tech students that are coming. We have CCP students coming back, everything else. And those are all things that we had to take in because those are the things that we deal with. And that was just for the front part. So as we then moved into the rest of the building, it's state of the art. It's fantastic. If you haven't been to the high school yet, you should check it out. But some of the things that we can do that really the other schools can't, at least to my knowledge that they can't, we do have the call buttons in every room. So if there's an emergency, you just hit that button. You can talk right into the main office from there. All the teachers have to do is hit that, and they can we can hear them through the PA into the main office. Any phone that's in the high school, you can actually do an all call throughout the entire building, and that even goes, if you've ever been to the high school, when we have an announcement or something like that, you can hear it outside as well. So if we were going into a lockdown situation, we do have some high school teachers here. They know that we do. I just walked into when I did a lockdown drill, I just walked into a teacher's classroom, picked up the phone, did the drill right from there. It doesn't matter which one I go to. So it is a state-of-the-art venue, but that doesn't mean that we're not always thinking about what we do, changing things if we have to. A perfect example was just a couple weeks ago. Because it is a new building, so everything is new to us, so we're still kind of working through, even though we've been there for about a year now. A couple weeks ago, it was bothering me that our career tech students that go to Copley, Wadsworth, or Barberton that catch the bus in the morning, they were down in the rotunda by the auditorium, because those buses from those schools, they pick them up down there in that rotunda at the auditorium. Well, you know, in the morning, that's where the teachers come in, so they have a swipe card that they can swipe in, but anyone else that would walk up to those doors, you know, you have students standing there, and just like anybody, if somebody walks up to the door and they're standing right there, what are you going to do? You're going to pop the door. And that was bothering me. I didn't like it. So Paul and I was at 2 weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago, Paul and I kind of talked through it, said, how can we do this better so that we don't have that situation, and we don't have it anymore. So we figured out something else, all part of what we worked through. But that was one of the things that I talked to our students about a couple weeks ago. I had class meetings with all of our kids just talking about safety and just kind of everything that's going on in the world. But one of the things I said to them was, we are constantly thinking about these things. This isn't something that just happened now. We think about everything. How you move, where you go, what will we do in this situation? How can we change this to make it better? We do that all the time. So obviously, just like you heard from the other principals, it's the same way. So from high school.
Thank you. Thanks to all of the principals. And one of the things that they didn't mention are some of the get-to-know-you activities they've been working on in their buildings. And we genuinely believe that as a district. We're working harder this year just to try and get to know our kids, and our kids are reaching out. Our fifth graders, for instance, have developed a program, and I know it's also at the fourth grade level, where they want the other students who maybe are struggling students to know, we care about you. And if you want to talk, we are here. So they're in a designated location for these kids to come and talk to them. In the high school group, I meet with high school students once a month, want to develop a group that offers services to struggling students. So there's a lot going on. Another final component to what we're trying to work on safety-wise in our district is our police force. And I've asked Chief D'Alessandro to be here tonight just to talk to you for a couple of minutes. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. So just like what some of the other building principals have talked about, my officers every morning are encouraged to be at every school building at the beginning of every day. We felt that was important even early on for the students to at least see the police presence. Since the Parkland shooting, my officers have been encouraged to walk through every building, you know, throughout their day. If they would like to stop, you know, a couple times at the elementary school, middle school, or high school, they're encouraged to do so. I believe they've had even a couple conversations with some of the classrooms in there. So that's something that we're doing. We're constantly training. My officers have attended numerous trainings with neighboring agencies just for, you know, this type of incidents. So that's what we've been doing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chief. All right, so tonight, really in a board setting, it's not a Q&A, but I do want to encourage, if you have any questions about anything that's happening safety-wise in our building, send me an email, give me a call, call your building principal. You know, mainly tonight we wanted to express to you our deep concern. We talk about this all of the time. Since Parkland, we've had three meetings countywide with superintendents just to talk about what's happening in your buildings, what are you doing? It's on our minds, you know. We do love kids, we want our kids to laugh and have fun in school, so we don't want all of that to go away, but behind the scenes we're trying to increase whatever we can do.
Thank you, Mr. Addis, all the building principals, and Chief D'Alessandro, appreciate it. And again, I would encourage people, if you have questions or concerns, to reach out to any of the individuals who spoke and share your concerns with them. Now we're going to move on to item 3, levy update.
So I know we just talked, and we're going to get to these kids, but in November when we did not pass a levy, you know, I reflected with a number of community members about reasoning, and we felt like we just didn't get out to enough people. So I appreciate just a couple of minutes of your time, just with some facts about this. Our slogan is Norton Now. We do believe that this is the right time for this to occur. It's going to be a 3.5 mil levy. You gonna run that for me? Awesome. Can you go up just a little bit to the top? I didn't go far enough up. No, you grabbed the bar. There you go. Thank you. All right, so it's a 3.5 mil operating levy. You'll see it on May 8, 2018. It's issue number 2, and it's Norton Now. And if you're working in the community, there is a large number of things that are occurring. We have a good buzz that's going on in terms of some possible new business, new ownership. You know, the district, for instance, we had 13 new students in January alone. We think that there's a good pulse right now from a school district standpoint. You know, we want to secure this at this particular time. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but I will send this out to all of you, and we did this in November. I think people appreciated it.
with a 3.5 mil levy. You can take a look at your home value and go all the way down to how much it's going to cost you per day to an annual payment. So obviously, if you're at a $150,000 home, you're looking at 50 cents a day. Annually, it's $183.75. So again, that chart will be available to all of you. It will be on our district website. You want to talk about those two numbers, Steph?
Yes, I can do that. The yearly collections, that's how much the levy would bring into us. It would be $1,052,000 each year in collections. It doesn't bring that in the very first year. We would get about half of that because we're only collecting for half of the year. Then we would, at that point, collect the whole $1 million. And the tax valuation, that's just what the city of Norton is worth. All the tax values in Norton and New Franklin, that's the value of the properties. I also have this on my website. I'll put that up there.
Awesome.
So we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah. All right, so here's the biggest thing, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. Again, call me if you have questions. We currently have three levies running in the district. This is an operating levy. And if you want to know what an operating levy does, it's the cost of doing business. So everything for daily operations comes from an operating levy. I put a couple things on there. Books, gasoline, salaries, programming, paper, site licenses, all of our professional development. We have to pay for national testing, our special education programs. It's the cost of doing business. The other two, and people get these confused, we have a PI levy, which are things like roofs and busing and anything that's in the school district at least 5 years, like new computers. And then as a community, the community supported Norton on a bond levy a few years ago to build our new high school. Here's the big thing. The money cannot be meshed between levies. It's against the law. So if we pass a PI levy, we cannot use a dime of the PI money for operating levy. And if you have friends in other school districts who build new buildings, they will often come back to the public with operating expenses. And it's a difficult thing to comprehend, but they're separate from one another. The last operating levy that was passed was in 2012. It's a 1.9 mil levy, where if you look back at the November levies in Summit County, no one even came close to a 1.9. The smallest may have been in the threes. And we've taken, since 2012, a 1.9 and stretched it into the 17-18 school year. This is my fourth district. I will share with you that taking a 1.9 mil levy and stretching it for that long, you cannot get any more efficient than that. That's hard to do. So this money has generated everything it could for our kids, and it's time for us to look at something else. The levy on the May ballot is about three things. Maintaining our quality schools, protecting your property values, and preparing our students for jobs for the future. That's it. Those are our three focus points. You hear superintendents tonight, especially board members talking to community members. So I've decided to bring in a couple of experts on April 16th to talk about school funding. I would encourage you to attend that night. Joel Roscoe is a financial consultant for BASA. He will explain the school funding basics. And Sandy Croissant, who is a Norton realtor, is going to talk that night about the connection between Norton schools and property values. Here's the thing that we want to offer to our taxpayers that night. If you want to come to the meeting, we will have computers there. You plug in your home address, it'll pop up instantly and tell you how much this levy will cost you as an individual. So you will know right away. All right?
Is there any security in this? Involved in this?
In that night?
In the levy itself. Any additional security?
That's something that that would be part of our operating expenses for sure. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question. I apologize. So to date, and I guess this is my reach out to the community, we feel like as a district, we've done a number of things. I've had to make $280,000 in budget reductions this year in personnel alone through the 18-19 school year. We have dual roles for administration. We have an administrator who's a building principal and also pupil services director. We've had a recent reduction of central office position. We've limited custodial services to our buildings. We've done a lot, and we're eventually going to reach a point where we just have nothing more to cut.
So, you know, in working with our community, we wanted you to know we've trimmed off a lot. So I just wanted to share that with you. If we are unable to pass in May, we don't know where this is going to take us, but we need to be open and honest with our community. This could have some busing implications for our community. We could be looking at things like pay to participate, larger classroom sizes, reduction of teaching staff and programs, a reduction in extracurricular activities. These are all things that, unfortunately, in other places, you have to deal with. And the reality of the financial situation is that we are there. So I hope through the meeting on the 16th, tonight's discussion, your questions with me, that you will not be afraid to give me a call or send me an email or certainly talk to Stephanie. And if you want to help, our first volunteer meeting is a week from tomorrow right here at 6:30 in the Panther Room. We'd love to have you. We really want this to be a grassroots effort on behalf of our community, so I encourage you to come that night. Okay. I'll go here. So Steph just wants to point out some things that she's made available for all of you.
Some of the information that we have out here, I'm sorry. You can find this information on our website. Sometimes it's a little difficult to find information on. If you ever have a question on it, you can call any one of us. But over to the side under Quick Links, if you scroll down to departments, if you click on any one of these departments, mine's clear at the bottom, but if you click there, it will open a link over on this side, and then you can scroll down to the one that you want. I found that's the simplest way to find what you're looking for. And then once you get into the Treasurer's Department, there's financial information, which Dana had shown here. And I just wanted to give you a quick look at the information that's out here. It's available on our website at all times, or you can call if you have questions on anything that you'd like to see. The forecast that's out here, it's what we have to by law. We have to put that out every year. You'll see us talk or hear us talk about it in October and May. It's predicting 5 years of information. That's out there. There's an explanation on how to read the forecast that's out there. This is coming from the Ohio Department of Education. We had a performance audit that was completed last May, done for our district. The Ohio Department of Education saw that we were struggling with our finances, so they came in, they looked at our operations, they looked at things, they gave us a few suggestions, thought we were doing really well. What they do with the performance audit is they look at like districts, like yours, same demographics, that's performing better than you are and spending less. And they try to get something, they wanted something in Northeast Ohio, they wanted something close to us, but I don't know if it's good or bad for us, they couldn't find anything near us to even make comparisons to, so they had to open it up to pretty much the entire state of Ohio to even find comparison districts like ours that perform as well as we do and spend less money than what we do. So all the results from that performance audit is here. The explanation is there. That will take you to the auditor of state's website, so it will explain what the audit looks at. School finance definitions, this is what Dana talked about quickly on some of these. Property tax, what the market value, your assessed valuations, inside millage, outside millage, any of those explanations that you might look for. Levy types, again, Dana mentioned those. Operating, permanent improvement, bond issue levy, just explanations on those. More information about property taxes, probably more than what you'd ever want to know, but it explains how to calculate those. This will give a quick snapshot of where our money comes from. For us, I guess I can look at it right in front of me, can I? 33% come from real estate. 34% comes from the state. The unrestricted aid is what the state of Ohio gives us. Our foundation money you'll hear us talk about sometimes, or school funding. And then the rest of it, all other. That would be rents, that would be open enrollment, that would be if we would happen to, oh, what else do we get money for? My mind just went blank. Those are the big ones, open enrollment, rental properties, miscellaneous taxes that we have in there, that's all part of that item. This one, where our money goes. We are a service industry. As anybody would know, we don't sell widgets, we can't change the price of widgets, we have salaries and we educate students. So that's what it is. Our biggest cost is our salaries and our benefits that go along with our employees. Purchase services is just what it sounds, it's purchasing a service. It will be the utilities that we purchase. It could be outside contractors. We have OT, PT that we come in, work with our students, different outsourcing that we might have to do. Supplies, very small portion of our budget, and capital expenditure. Even though we talked about a PI levy, we can spend money out of our general fund. We don't do that. We try to push everything that we can to our PI levy, but we could have money there and other expenditures. Those are the monies that we have to pay to Summit County. We're collecting taxes. That's some dues that we have to pay, that 1% of our budget goes in that line item. These are some just interesting facts that we've picked up here. This is Summit County, and this is the revenue that they bring in locally. So this is your local taxes that people pay per student. Revere, $10,300 per student. Norton City Schools, $3,408 per student. So that's the comparison across the county on what they bring in for their local property taxes. And then this is just simply what the property values will bring in. It's broken down per $100,000 of value. Again, Akron, $1,884, Norton, $1,327. That's what they bring in for property values. And then the last one is what I was discussing there. That's that chart that Dana just showed. If you want to look at that for your home values, it will show them there. If you ever have any questions on those, please call at any time. We can set up an appointment. We can go through any of this information. Any questions that you have, I'd be glad to answer.
So one last comment before we get to Students of the Month. If you live in Norton, you had a property, we were in evaluation year 2017 with Summit County. The average home increase in Norton was 8%. So many of your property tax, there was an increase there. There is a 10 mil limit on that that has nothing to do with the school. So if you had a new property tax bill in October and you paid it in January, I need you all to know that's a state law. Every resident pays it. It has nothing to do with the school district levy or anything. Now that's called inside millage. And police, fire, schools all benefit from that. But that gets confused with money that the school asks its residents for, but it's not affiliated. When we want to work with you in May, that's called outside millage, and we have everything to do with that one. So, all right, again, if you have any questions, please feel free to call us, and we appreciate the attention tonight. Thank you.
Thank you all for being so patient. At this time, we'll move into Students of the Month.
All right, he probably would like for me to say I'll save the best for last, but we'll start with Mr. Shaner tonight at the high school.
I knew that was coming.
So I'd like to introduce everyone to Senior Brett Baker. He is, of course, our March Student of the Month. Outstanding young man. I don't know what's going on with the haircut, but, you know... No, I'm just kidding. He did that for the state wrestling tournament this past weekend. But a great kid. He comes from a great family. Of course, his sister, Lauren. Hi, Lauren. She graduated here recently with us, and we miss her, of course, at the high school. But Brett is, he not only is he beloved by the teachers, and of course, he was an easy selection, but he is a wonderful athlete at the high school. He's a member of the golf, baseball, and of course the wrestling teams. Wrestling is what he's most known for. He's a two-time state qualifier. Last year he placed seventh. This past weekend, he did really well down there. He didn't get on the podium, but like I was talking to Mr. Yule earlier, got a bad draw, and you know, it's tough down there sometimes, but obviously he's a phenomenal wrestler. At the same time, he is a College Credit Plus student, so he doesn't spend all of his day with us. He actually just spends the end of his day with us, but so he spends a lot of his day at the University of Akron. Of course, he comes back and he takes a dual enrollment class at the high school at the end of the day as well, so he's able to earn college credit through a class that he takes with us at the high school, which is pretty cool. And then when Brett graduates here in a couple months, he plans on going to the University of Akron, studying engineering, and he wants to someday go to NeoMed. So we, of course, wish him well in the future. So our March student of the month, Brett Baker.
Next, we'll move to our middle school, Ms. Joyce Gerber.
Do you want me to hand that to Lois?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Recognizing our 8th grade student of the month is Megan Bennett. He's standing in the middle of us. I usually post the information out to the staff when the 8th grade team nominates a student. And with Megan, I got a lot of responses from not only 8th grade teachers, but 5th grade teachers saying what a pleasure, what a good selection, 6th grade teachers, 7th grade teachers, and so you know you got the right candidate when you get that kind of response. Mr. Trevisano came tonight to share some information about Megan.
Megan's in my algebra class, first period, and there's one word that I love more than the other word, it's perfect for her. She is a phenomenal kid. That's such a great word, she's such a great kid. She's very special. I've taught many, many, many bright kids, but she has got something that I never had, and not a lot of people do. When they look at a math problem, they're looking at an issue, they can just solve it a little differently and look at it a little differently. And it's really cool to see somebody, you know, just perform at such a level that I kind of go, well, I'm just gonna let her do her work. Just kind of go, she's gonna come back and be like, oh, Mr. Tripp really wasn't that smart. I'm not special, she is. But on top of her just being a brilliant kid, she is an incredibly nice kid, super smiley in the morning, very, very positive. She has a good group of friends that they're all kind of like, they're kind of a mess, like when they go through the hall like loud and everything, but they're such a great group of kids, and they're great role models. They're just a lot of fun. They hide in the hallway, or they give me a little like, they make fun of my wave once in a while, but they're just fun to kind of interact with. So she's not just like this bookworm and super smart. She's got this great personality, great to have in the classroom, and I really enjoy being your math teacher, so congratulations, Megan.
Congratulations.
Next, we have Mr. Sackett.
Thank you. He has a better view.
Yeah, he does.
We have two great students from Norton Elementary School. We'll start with third grader Natalie Vasilev here to present is our Teresa Kozak and Karen Reinhardt.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Reinhardt, and I nominated Natalie as our third grade student of the month here. Natalie is in my language arts and math classes, and she is just an excellent student. Natalie is always eager to learn. She does all of her work willingly. She listens attentively, and she pays attention to instruction, and she does her best on all of her assignments. She does all of her homework. And she is very nice in the classroom. She's very pleasant to work with. And she's just an all-around great kid.
Okay, and Ms. Martin, I would like to present you with this cape because you're our superhero. And you're our superhero because you're such a great helper and because you try so hard. And when things are really hard, you don't give up and you just keep on trying.
Fourth grade, we have Ryan Pratt, and here to present is Mr. Oatman and Ms. Witt.
I am very fortunate to have Ryan in both my math and science classes this year, and every year when you start, you look for that one leader in your classroom, and it was pretty clear early on that my leader was standing right in front of me. He's a quiet leader. He's not going to be the one who stands up and tries to rally everybody, but he's going to lead by example. And he always comes in with a smile on his face. He's always ready for whatever the day is going to bring. He's going to be really happy when he gets his report card because he's got the highest grade in my math class for the third quarter. You're blushing now, aren't you? But just overall, anytime that I need to find somebody in the classroom that's doing the right thing, I know that I can look this direction and I can always find that person in my classroom. And it's been a pleasure to have him in my class this year and looking forward to the next quarter and moving him on to fifth grade where Mrs. Gerber's gonna have a real good one on her hands.
Hey, Ryan. Congratulations, brother.
Ms. Manet.
I have to say, I was so excited about both the students that we have tonight. First grade, we have Eric Satina, and he comes from an incredible family that I had the opportunity to work with at primary, too. So when Miss Feeney came to me and said, oh, it's Eric Satina, I'm like, yes, I love this kid. And he's been so excited to earn this award. And Miss Feeney has a few things she'd like to say about him.
Well, the first thing about Eric that caught my eye was the first time he walked into my classroom and he had this giant smile on his face, and I don't think it's left all year long. He comes in every day happy and excited, no matter what's going on, if he's sick or upset or he has a lot of homework or work to do, he's constantly got a smile on his face. And he just loves to learn, no matter what I give him, whether it's a little bit boring math or exciting science, he just loves it and soaks it in. He's also such a kind friend to everybody that steps foot in our door. We just recently got a new kid, and he's just really opened up his arms to him and made him feel so welcome in our classroom. So, no brainer in picking Eric. He's been awesome.
And we have Sophia Nielsen, and when Miss Salcom came to me about her, I was like, yes. And I just have to say, if you came for Dr. Seuss Week, the last 3 years, the Nielsens make all our balloon arches. They're amazing. And they're just such a supportive family, and it did not surprise me one bit when she brought Sophia up, because just in the family she comes from is just absolutely amazing and supportive all the time. So I know you have many thoughts.
I'm so excited to introduce Sophia as our second grade student of the month. Sophia just really exemplifies, you know, what we look for in our students is being respectful, responsible, ready to learn. She wakes up bright and early every morning to come to a Brainiac Club before school starts. She walks down the hallway to my classroom with a big smile on her face, and she always just puts forth her best effort in everything she does. You know, this past week, she just gave me that breath of refreshing honesty. You know, we were working on line plots for the first time, and the kids were working on them by themselves, and I said, all right, how's it going? And Sophia very bravely said, not very good. So I look at her, make eye contact, she just gives me this big grin. She goes, I need more time. So it's just that attitude. I love to just see her creativity and her problem solving as she goes about her tasks and her STEM activities. So it's my pleasure to introduce this to you.
We're going to take a recess to go. Mr. Morris, I'm sorry.
We got one more.
Mr. Morris from our primary building.
Save the best for last.
Yes.
Yes. Come on up here. You're part of this too.
I have the privilege to introduce three lovely ladies, Mrs. Altshire, Mrs. Steven, and our student of the month, Samantha Lombardi. She is a graduate of our preschool and is now in the kindergarten. She is a wonderful young lady, and I will turn the floor over to Mrs. Stevens so she can share all the wonderful news.
Okay, when I was asked to nominate a student for Student of the Month, I immediately thought of Samantha. Samantha is just a wonderful young lady that's very deserving of the honor. She comes to school every day with a huge smile and a, good morning, Mrs. Stevens. She's so excited to be there every day and to learn. She is kind and gentle with her classmates. If she notices someone's having a problem, she'll bring it right to my attention. If she doesn't know how to solve it, she brings it to me. She says, Mrs. Stevens, so-and-so needs help, and we're able to solve it together. She's a friend to everyone in the class. She's a hard worker. She has made so much progress this year with reading and writing. She has a strong desire to learn new things and to let us know what she knows. Samantha has the opportunity to work with many different staff members each week. She always comes back to class with a big smile and she says, Mrs. Stevens, I did great. And whoever she's working with always agrees that she did a very good job. I might be the teacher presenting Samantha with the nomination for Student of the Month, but it is widely supported by every teacher and staff member that she works with. Let's congratulate Samantha.
That I know.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I apologize. Now we'll take a recess, but before everybody starts moving around, we'd like to get all the students of the month over here so that we can take a group photo. Thank you.
Lady with the gavel.
Hey, we'd like to get started.
I hate it.
I would say you're going to need to pound it.
Okay, we're going to move on to public participation. We do have a few people signed up for that, and before we move forward, there's a few ground rules that we have to set out. If you called in advance, you have 5 minutes to speak. If there's anybody from the audience who would like to speak, you can have 3 minutes to speak, and we go to a total time of 30 minutes. Because it is a public forum, this is not an opportunity to single out people or make complaints about administrators, staff, or anything like that. We would encourage you to contact those people directly. So at this time, Kylie Russell and Ellie Carneal, if you would like to speak. You can use the podium or you, whichever's comfortable for you.
Can I just stand here?
You sure can.
Okay. Hi, my name is Kylie Russell. Ellie Carneal could not be here tonight. She had to work. This is Gage Thompson. I am a sophomore at Norton High School. I am here on behalf of my classmates and myself with all the increased school violence we have been talking to each other. I asked myself and a few of my friends, what would make you feel safer at school? The unanimous answer was metal detectors. Ellie Carneal, Gage Thompson, and I decided to take initiative and create a GoFundMe page to help to raise enough money to purchase this equipment. The pros of metal detectors in schools. One, it gives administrative personnel the chance to screen out weapons. Two, it is a visual discouragement to violence. Three, provides a more comfortable learning environment. Ellie and I had a meeting with Mr. Shaner, and he expressed logistics concerns in regards to the metal detectors. He made some valid points on how much time it may take to get in to start our day. We still believe that metal detectors will make us feel safer, but encouraged us to research alternative safety measures, such as the Barracuda door stopper. I have placed an information sheet on this product in your handout. This gives the pricing and different available models. We have talked to some teachers and friends, and they expressed that having these Barracudas will help keep us safe. Our goal is to reach $20,000 to purchase this equipment. We were on a roll the first 48 hours, but after someone from the community posted Mr. Addis' response to how he felt about the metal detectors, our donations nearly stopped. I posted an update on the GoFundMe page to check back in with us after this meeting. With your approval, we would like to donate the safety equipment to the school so that the students both feel safer and are safer. We all want this extra safety to feel better throughout our school day. I would also like to address our district not having a resource officer. Wadsworth, Northwest, and Barberton, just to name a few right here in our area, have resource officers. Almost, if not all, of the students at Norton want a resource officer. We do not just want it, we need it. I am certain that the school board, our superintendent, and our police department could get together and find a way. Our safety needs to be top priority. Thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate the opportunity to address the school board with my concerns and suggestions. Please let us know your feedback and your decisions by email.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you for speaking. I know that's not always easy. Next on the agenda is Osiris Hoffman.
Members of the board, my name is Osiris Hoffman. I have two daughters in the Norton School District. This is my third time coming to the board in regards to the same issue. And while I read the dates and the incidents, I want you to keep in mind these words. We will deal with this situation as it happens. November 9th, 2016, my child was told that Trump will send you back to Mexico. A response she was given was that's middle school kill. May 24th, 2017, a binder was held up in her face and told that they're building Donald Trump's wall. I was told, don't know what you want us to do, because it was 3 days before school let out. I came to the first Board of Education meeting on June 5th to state my concerns. On September 22nd, 2017, my daughter was taunted consistently with the boy's name that decided to make the initial racist remarks. I was not informed, by the way, about these incidents. I found out through my daughter. On September 23rd, 2017, I complained about not being informed. I was told, and I took it as the incidents being minimized as my daughter being bothered. October 10th, she was told that she was a deported Mexican with rights. October 16th was my second Board of Education meeting. October 20th, there was an article published about my situation when I came to the board by the West Side Leader. On October 21st, an article appeared in the Barberton Herald. On November 6th, she got told we don't play with dirty Mexicans. On December 18th, and I only share this to you because this is how much it has affected our family. She threatened to kill herself. I had to call 911. My daughter was in the emergency room, an absolutely empty room, with protective glass all over. That's what these incidents had led my daughter to do that day. When we finally got to meet with the parents, I asked, why wasn't the DARE officer involved in any of these situations? I was told, I don't have to get the DARE officer involved. On February last month, my daughter again was taunted by the boy's name who started the racial incident. Then she was referred to as being Asian. On March 5th, she was called a Mexican AFS and a Mexican SHIT hole. The response I got over the phone was, she shouldn't have made fun of the kid's shoes. And I was like, wait, are you saying if I make fun of someone's shoes, they're gonna revert and attack me because of my race? The answer was yes, because she reacted the first time, so they know that that's what gets her upset. And that she wasn't innocent in any of this. What did she do? She reacted. She threw a pencil at the student in full suspension. I told her, she will serve that suspension, and I canceled my surgery so that she could serve that punishment. And I told her, no one made her throw that pencil. If she could control anything, she could control herself, and that she shouldn't have done that. So she served it. The best thing that's ever happened in all these incidents is on March 7th, the student wrote my daughter an apology letter. I commend that student, and I thank that family so much, because a simple apology made the world of difference to my daughter and to me. Mind you, throughout all these 8 incidents, I keep getting, we'll handle them as they come along. That's no longer an acceptable answer. I'm not going to keep doing this, and that the easy answer for everyone is just get her out of the district. So my daughter has to get uprooted and start all over again.
Ms. Hoffman,
will we stay here?
I'm sorry, I have to cut you off at 5 minutes.
That's fine. I just wanted to let you guys know this is my third time here. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public participation? All right, at this time we'll move on to item 6, agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under approval of minutes, can I have a motion to approve letters A through C?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Under Treasurer's recommendations, can I have a motion to approve letters A, B, and C?
Mm-hmm. Second.
Any discussion?
I just want to state real quick that the resolution that we're accepting, it says it's necessary for tax levies. This is not adding anything new. This is done every year. It comes from the Summit County fiscal officer just for us to certify that the amount that they're going to collect is what we also say that they should collect. It's just certifying the amounts that they're going to collect.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under superintendent's recommendations, can I have a motion to approve letter A, 1, 2, and 3?
Second.
Any discussion?
I just want to mention and say thanks to Pat Ryan. And I don't know if Ryan wants to say anything. I've just gotten to know Pat, obviously. This is my first year, but being over in the classroom, you know, found her to be such a hardworking person with kids and such a great heart and a hard worker for our school system. Ryan, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, she's been around North for a long time. I remember having her kids in class and everything else. She's a great mom, and she's looking forward to being a great grandma now, which is kind of leading her down the path that she's going to now. But yeah, great, just a great person with kids for so many years. So sad to see her go.
Yeah, thanks to Pat. Great service to the district.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under letter B, can I have a motion to approve items 1, 2, and 3?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under letter C, can I have a motion to approve the resolution for reduction in force of business manager position effective June 30th, 2018, attachment G?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
You know, I know just this was obviously a difficult decision for us, but when a district is making cuts, you look at every single component, and we have a strong appreciation for Jake and the work that he did in getting our building constructed. Did a great job in working in that area. This is going to put additional work on other central office personnel, but it's another way that the district is trying to make cuts so that we can, you know, keep our children a priority. So we'll assume some of the duties that Jake has had, and he's handled this professionally. So I have appreciation for him.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under letter D, can I have a motion to approve the Norton City Schools Board of Education Resolution ESP Employee Severance Plan Attachment H?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion?
As we've discussed in the committee of the whole, the district has reached out to both unions and offered an early retirement package. It's a combination of employees who feel as if they're ready to retire and move on to the next stage of their life. It's a financial component for the district, and certainly it comes with us not pushing anyone out the door. We were very clear in our works with both unions. That was simply an offer that the district had prepared. It's a one-time offer. It's this year only. We will not be revisiting this in the future. So if the board chooses to approve it, then we'll begin moving on this tomorrow.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve items E, F, and G?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Call the roll, please. Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve items H and I?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve items J, K, and L?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about J. Mr. Pollack, Coach Pollack, has been waiting so patiently over on the wall to be named our new head football coach. So I first want everyone to know we set out on this course, and I could not have been happier with the process. Mr. Schimmick, Mr. Shaner, and I, we worked our way through about 50 paper applications and ended up bringing about 14 people in, and we reached a really good point with many candidates. But as soon as we met Kevin, there was a lot to like and some things that he had to say. Kevin comes from a winning football formula. He's a Mogador grad. This is going to be about him, but he comes from a family of winners. His dad won three state championships at Mogador, and will join Kevin on his staff. So,
two. I was, oh, two.
Two?
Don't or say three,
either piece.
So he's won two. So we were really pleased. And Kevin, we just want to welcome you at Norton. I know next week he's going to meet his players, and then we have a community welcome also scheduled. But do you have anything you want to say tonight?
Thank you for the opportunity. Very grateful, and I'm fired up and excited to be a Panther.
No pressure at all. I just want you to know that.
So Kevin's joining us from Strasburg. This year we fielded a team of close to around 60 players, and last year he nearly made the playoffs with 16 players on his roster. So he performed a little magic, and we're looking forward to supporting him in this new role here. So welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I guess I should have waited until he got the vote before I said
congratulations.
Yeah, that was pretty presumptuous, huh? Congratulations. Can I have a motion to approve item M, approve the Memorandum of Understanding between the Norton City School District Board of Education and the Ohio Association of Public Employees Local Number 167, Attachment I.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under item N, can I have a motion to approve the job description for Maintenance 2 position, Attachment J?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Did you want to explain? Last month, we reduced maintenance positions. Mm-hmm. So I know it looks like we're adding a maintenance position, but.
So we reduced a 12-month maintenance position to a 9-month maintenance position. So that position was vacated in 2017. So now for the March through December period, we're adding that position back, but it's actually a reduction. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right,
it does.
Good.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Under letter O, can I have a motion to approve the elimination of the following transportation position, item 1, bus route 10, effective Monday, March 12, 2018?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Okay, I couldn't remember if I started with you. I'm sorry.
Motion carries 5-0. Under consent agenda items, can I have a motion to approve items P through X?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're almost there. Superintendent's reports.
I just want to touch upon one last thing because it was brought up in the committee on the whole, and that is the inside millage. There have been some reports that are surfacing in the community that we weren't making people aware of additional taxes. But again, it's a difficult concept, but it's related to property value increases. Our property values increase. That's really healthy for this community. And most districts in Summit County, there were only 3 of the 17 school districts in Summit County that did not see an increase in valuation. So all of those property values went up. So schools do benefit from that. And it's important for everyone here to know we realize that. The school district does reap the benefits of that. However, when a resident inside that school district has property values that go down, their tax bills go down as well. So for instance, 4 years ago, just in looking back through the books, we lost, because of property evaluation, the district lost over $100,000 in income, in revenue. This year, it's every other year, that increase was about $120,000. But that's already budgeted in when we see those increases. And on another thing, that's less than 1% of our revenue. We are so grateful for every dime of revenue that we can get. We are beyond grateful. But it's less than 1% of our revenue. And so, you know, sometimes outside these walls, there's the thought that, you know, we're not being transparent with that. We can't be any more transparent. So that's really the thing that was remaining for me tonight, was just to make sure the people that remained, who mostly are employees, but that they're aware of that and spread the word. We have every intention of being, not intention, we are transparent with our community. So that's it.
Thank you. Board members, Mr. Yule.
Congratulations to the students of the month. So, as we say every time, it's great seeing the kids up there and listen to the teachers and talk about how well they're doing throughout the year, how they inspire others. And it's also good to look out into, as Mr. Santelli said, look at the faces of the crowd and parents. It's just great. I want to make a couple comments just about the information prior to the meeting, to start this meeting. I think it was great that we are taking the initiative to spread the word on a couple things, and very important things, being the levy and the safety of our schools and our kids. You know, has been said multiple times, you know, what is Norton doing? What can we do? And I am proud of what we are doing, the talks of what potentially could happen. And I want to thank the students who stepped up and are looking to try to make an improvement in the school for not only themselves, but the rest of the students. So good information, and hopefully that gets out to the people that needs to get out to. And then finally, our winter sports teams, we've talked about it numerous times. It's been in the papers. Wrestling and both boys and girls basketball all won PTCs. Wrestling, unfortunately, it's been 20 years. The basketball and girls basketball, not so much. They've won recently. So good winter season. We had one state placer from the wrestling team, CJ Williams, who was a senior that ended up, I think, 41-8. So congratulations to him, and we're proud of all of the kiddos that play sports and represent Norton well. So
thank you. Mrs. Webel?
I don't know what
you're not
left.
Ready yet.
No, I don't know what's left.
We can go that way.
I was going to say. Congratulations to the students of the month, the winter sports teams. I mean, I have these things written down. Safety. We're on the operations committee together, but rest assured, just because the incident in Florida happened does not mean we just started looking at safety. We spent between $1 million between this building and between the old middle school, the new elementary school, securing the entrances, and we've been looking at it a long time. And on our next thing is to do the primary. So rest assured, we've been looking at this a long time, and we continue to look at it. And that's, and on our operations committee is the fire chief and the police chief. So they are there giving us guidance, you know, to as to what we need to do. The one thing I just wanted to mention, if you noticed when we said the Pledge of Allegiance tonight, did you hear all the little kids saying it?
Yes.
I thought that was so sweet. I really, that's what we're here for. We're here for those kids. And I just wanted to mention that if you had not heard that, but they were just loud and they were proud. So that's it.
Ms. Drinks.
All right. Again, congratulations to the students of the month. You know, it's great to see the kids up here. And I always love to hear the comments because they go from they're a great student, they study hard, they work, to when they're little, because really when they're little kids, they come in and they study and they do what they're told. You know, they're good kids. But as they get older, we always hear, it turns into what kind of a person they are. It's a great kid. He comes from a great family. He's a great leader. She's a great leader. It's just great to see that progression, to know that our teachers, our principals, and our families have a lot to do with that. And then that transforms into, you know, the winter sports. You know, I spend a lot of time, my kids are involved in sports. I spend a lot of time watching the basketball teams, the girls and the boys. I got to go to some wrestling meets this year. That was a lot of fun. Speech and debate had a great season. You know, so yeah. As much as we do academically for our kids and our teachers do, it's great to see our kids take that outside of the classroom and excel as well. And I don't know, I just get proud of these kids that they're going to go out into the world and do great things. So I want to thank Kylie and Gage for coming up here. I know that's not easy to do. It's a little nerve-wracking to stand up here, but you did a great job. And I appreciate all the hard work you put into your presentation. Great information there. And believe me, it's going to be discussed. And we appreciate the work you put into it.
Mr. Santelli.
This is an amazing packet. This is very professionally done. Thank you. I would also like to congratulate the winter sports. Three championships right here in Norton, and I'm very proud of the kids for that. The music department, which I have a little interest in, they also had a wonderful season. They went to a contest 2 weeks ago, and the concert band and the high school choir both received excellent ratings, and the symphonic band received a superior rating, which makes them eligible to go on to state competition. Some of you may have read in the Herald, the Post, and the West Side Leader a letter that I wrote shortly after the Parkland shooting. Mr. Addis put on Facebook at some point, or on Twitter actually, that Mr. Shaner was going to have a discussion with his students. And out of curiosity, I showed up at one of the discussions. And I'm very, very proud to be associated with Mr. Shaner and Norton Schools. He was so professional. He made me feel that the students should be comfortable in their buildings. He let the group of students that I was with, it was a quarter of the school, a third of the school. I was with the juniors.
You were there for the juniors.
Right. So, one thing he said, and I wanted to speak up during the security or the safety talk earlier, is our students go to grocery stores, they go to movie theaters, they go to church, they go wherever they go. There is not a single place where in society right now where people are more conscious of the security of their student or the children, security of people visiting their buildings, than right here in our schools. Every day, the principals, and Mr. Shaner, I'm quoting you on this, and not exact quote, my primary job is to make sure that you are safe in my building. And I respect the administrators that we have here, and I very much thank them for all the effort they put into keeping our students safe. So, again, Mr. Shaner, thank you so much for sharing that with the kids. I know that they felt a lot better when they left the room than they did when they entered. So, once again, thank you.
Thank you. I do want to congratulate the Students of the Month and the anonymous donor who donated this track and field records board. I mean, that's fantastic. Sometimes track and field goes a little bit unnoticed, and we have a lot of great athletes in that program. Also, you know, PBABC is always fundraising and helping our student athletes, so they have a donation there as well.
And Kylie, I know you, and I know Ellie. I know she wasn't able to be here, but and Gage, I don't know you as well, but I just want to thank you for speaking up and coming here tonight. I know that takes a lot. And I have to share, okay. So the art department did this paint night with parents. So I went with my daughter, and I'm going to share with you, one of these is mine, I'm not telling you which one, and one of them she did. And there's a reason why I am not an artist, as you can tell, because I'm sure you probably figured out which one is mine. So anyway, but it was a great event. There was about 40 people there, parents with their students, there to paint, and it was something put on by Mrs. Thornberry, Ms. Levack, and Mrs. Druckenbrod on behalf of Student Council. So I know they're going to do it again, and I just think it was a great opportunity to reach out for parents to get in the building and to spend some time with their kids painting, although mine will probably go in a closet, but it was fun. Then I want to share something else. There was this editorial in the Akron Beacon Journal today, and it's kind of long. I'm not going to read all of it, but you know, we're talking about how we're reaching our students, and I'm going to share some things about how I know that Norton City Schools cares about their students, but we're also, you know, Mr. Addis talked about health and wellness. So this editorial says, you know, they were talking to the gunman, and it says the young gunman attended his mother's funeral and was asked if he was upset. His response provides insight into the road that disconnected him from his humanity. I'm just upset that no one cared to show up. We need clearer evidence that hurt people are more likely to hurt people. For educators, that carries an important message. You can't reach a child who doesn't think you care. And I'm just picking out some things, but it says it's virtually impossible to improve learning outcomes without supports that address students' more basic needs, including their sense of being loved and belonging. Our public schools and educators, who teach more than 90% of America's children, are charged with teaching students who are stable as well as those who are in pain. Fortunately, most students don't exhibit their pain in the way that the gunman did. But educators everywhere know that there are too few resources and supports to address their students' needs. And that is an unfortunate state of what we're going through, but I want to talk about things that I know Norton City Schools are doing, and I'm probably not hitting all of it. But Mr. Santelli, as you talked about, Mr. Shaner, I mean, you addressing your entire student body the way that you did, I thought was amazing. The high school also hosted Greenleaf Family Center and talked about suicide prevention. I'm sure everybody knows what's been going on in neighboring communities. And so we're trying to get information out there and talking to parents and students. At the middle school, I was picking up my daughter the other day, and out at your window, what would I do with it? You had the parent project information to help. It's classes that are being offered to help teach parents on how to deal with their students if they're having a hard time. And it's free. And I'm sorry, and it's also on the website. I saw that you have it on the website. There's also this SIP club. Socialize and interact with peers. It's to promote new friendships and relationships. And that information is on the website. In between our committee the whole meeting and this meeting, I went upstairs to use the restroom, and I was blown away. I mean, the seventh grade hallway looks awesome. I mean, it's all talking about grit, honor, gratitude, and accountability. And it's decorated fabulous. At the elementary school, there's a parent input survey on the website to review school and parent values. I don't think that we talk enough about what we're trying to do to help our students beyond teaching them. And I know that's something that we're always trying to work on. And so I think it's important, especially now, that our community know that. So I just wanted to share that. And with that, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.